For people who are not immersed in the world of Hollywood, what should they know about MGM?
They own TV assets, not pointing any fingers at reality TV, but they've got a stable of shows there as well, Survivor, and...
You're not going to talk smack about Survivor on my show, buddy.
No, sir. No, sir. Hey, I'm just... Don't shoot the messenger here.
Hello, and welcome to GeekWire. I'm GeekWire co-founder Todd Bishop. We're coming to you from Seattle, where we report each day on what's happening around us in technology, science, and innovation. What happens here matters everywhere, and every week on this show, we talk about some of the biggest and most interesting stories we've been covering. This week, the name is Bezos. Jeff Bezos. We'll analyze Amazon's deal to buy the iconic Hollywood studio, MGM, for $8.45 billion. Joining us is Sam Blake, a reporter who covers entertainment and media for .LA, the technology news site for Southern California. By the way, point of local trivia, that site was started in part by former Zillow Group CEO Spencer Raskoff to cover the technology and innovation scene in the Los Angeles area. We'll be talking with Sam on this episode about the news that Amazon is buying MGM. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Todd. Thank you for having me.
So, is this all about Jeff Bezos wanting to spend more time on the red carpet? You know, you see him in the paparazzi photos, milling about at the Golden Globes or the Oscars. I mean, is it possible to read too much into this? Is there enough of a business case here to say this is about more than Jeff Bezos' vanity?
Well, hey, I'd say it's possible. You, at some fronts, would know better than I, you know, being particularly familiar with Mr. B. But, you know, there are also benefits to the business. The curiosity about the entertainment business is that from a financial standpoint, it's actually quite a bit smaller than the cultural standpoint. So I think you can connect that to sort of both hypotheses embedded in that sexy question. You know, on one hand, to Bezos, it could seem, you know, like a good opportunity to increase his status, you know, rub elbows with folks that so many people revere. On the other hand, from a business standpoint, you know, because so many people do sort of disproportionately love entertainment, you could see how a big bet in that world would help sort of grease the pipes of everything that Amazon's building. And, you know, I think one interesting hypothesis around what Amazon is really trying to do is essentially be like an entire interface between a person and anything that they might do basically in their lives. And so, you know, incorporating this thing that people have this really cultural and societal affinity toward, even more so than, you know, how much money they spend on it, you know, would certainly be kind of a big step in that direction.
You write in your story on .LA about the implications for the broader streaming landscape and for mergers and acquisitions in Hollywood. And I want to get to that in just a second. But before we go there, for people who are not immersed in the world of Hollywood, what should they know about MGM apart from the lion that roars at the beginning of the films? What are the key points that you would get across about this studio?
Sure. I mean, it's like 94, maybe 96 years old. It's, you know, one of the most recognizable logos, that lion that comes at the beginning of films, as classic as Wizard of Oz, but all the way through to much more modern fair. They have something like 4,000 films, 17,000 hours worth of TV, you know, numbers that at a certain point are just, you know, clearly a lot, and relatively one of the more sort of well-stocked troves of content. And, you know, they really are sort of a relic of an older Hollywood before it was taken over and increasingly so by tech, most notably in the realm of streaming, you know, kind of just creating an on-demand access to films and TV shows. And that is itself rippling across the entertainment industry in things as sort of simple as people aren't going to the movie theater as much. And then, you know, that in turn has all sorts of consequences of like the types of films that are being made. People lament that as far as like the art forms trajectory, you know, moving more towards superhero fare and different kinds of events oriented productions. So that's all to say that MGM is kind of an interesting fulcrum that is almost like a microcosm of this big transition that Hollywood's going under from sort of a more gut oriented, almost like a romantic era of the magic of the movies into the much more analytics, data-driven approaches that were really pioneered by Netflix and are continuing to ripple throughout the industry.
It's interesting because clearly data is something that Amazon brings in just huge amounts, and specifically about its Prime customers. And of course, Prime Video is the core video offering that Amazon has as part of its annual subscription service. That said, to your point, there is a bit more qualitative aspect to Hollywood. And in fact, one of my favorite parts of Brad Stone's book recently about Amazon, Amazon Unbound, basically gave Jeff Bezos's recipe for epic storytelling. And it's interesting how he basically broke it down. He reverse engineered great movies. And I can give you the list. It was including a hero protagonist, a compelling antagonist, moral choices, diverse world building, urgency, humor, betrayal, positive emotions, negative emotions, violence. It's funny, as I was reading it, I realized there was something huge that was missing, and that was sex. But at any rate, it's fascinating how he looked at it, and it showed me in part that he wasn't looking at it purely as a creative process. It was a bit of an engineering process for him, it seemed, that he was bringing to this business of movie making. How does Amazon fit into this whole world?
It's a great point. I think it's an example of you know, maybe even the best example so far of tech really disrupting entertainment. It's really bringing a data-driven, analytical, like you put it, engineering approach to movies, right? And to art, really, which has, you know, for so long been perceived as something that, to a hat tip to your earlier word, you know, it's been kind of qualitative, that's been difficult to quantify, that's been something more of the soul and of the spirit. And Amazon is really known in all of its businesses for being particularly concrete, you know, more numbers oriented, more of the mind. And they write all of their thoughts down in their for their meetings, right? I mean, and I think it's it'll be interesting to see, right, to the extent to which they balance the other part of their sort of identity, which is the obsession with customers, right? Because to an extent, at least some customers are not going to love an ongoing continuation of this data-driven, numbers-oriented factory of producing movies that appeal to the masses, you know, and which the numbers show are the most successful. And then if you rely too much on the past data, then you're just going to churn out stuff that's problematic for one way or another. So it'll be very interesting to see what Amazon does to the future of content. I mean, obviously they've got this now trove, but they've also got a studio to create more content. And I've seen actually that Amazon Prime Video has in the past had a relatively high sort of quality score on the type of shows and movies that it has in its library already compared to Netflix, compared to Disney and so forth. And so, you know, it's not like they're without a reputation of having some seemingly affinity for quality. But yeah, like you said, they're a numbers data oriented company. And that really is like a really, that's what sort of makes this story so fascinating. It's a really salient example of this collision of two worlds.
If you liked Raging Bull, you may also like Rocky, right? Yeah. So just to give a couple of numbers here, at $8.45 billion, this is second only to Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods. Amazon will be acquiring a catalog from MGM with more than 4,000 films, long list of many movies you've heard of, 12 Angry Men, Basic Instinct, Legally Blonde, Moonstruck, Poltergeist, Raging Bull, RoboCop, Rocky, Silence of the Lambs, I mean, Tomb Raider, The Magnificent Seven, big, big catalog. They made the point in the release that the value is not only that back catalog, but also what they can do in the future. Do you have a sense, Sam, for what this might mean for the future of production of movies in particular for Amazon Prime? Because my understanding is they've been getting traction in shows, TV shows Amazon has, but haven't had as much luck in movies.
Yeah, I mean, based on that quote and based on what we're seeing from the entertainment industry at large, the word that comes to mind is franchises. These worlds that you see and really perfected by Disney in particular, with Star Wars, with Marvel, these cinematic universes, they call them, right? Where all of a sudden, you know, one movie leads into another movie and leads into another movie. And it's no longer just sequels and prequels, but this intricate web of interrelated titles that I think ideally, you know, can exist on their own, but also incentivize people to want to see the others, right? So it's sort of this, to take some corporate speak, synergy, even between the assets themselves. And so, yeah, when you look at the stuff that, you know, Amazon's acquiring, and, you know, a lot of these decisions as far as the types of stuff that gets made are financially motivated. And that's a decision that's going to be based on kind of mitigating risk most of the time. And, you know, this ties very much into how, you know, films are kind of increasingly becoming more event oriented and just, you know, churning out things that people basically are familiar with to lower the risk that people won't want to turn out. And so I would expect, you know, at least insofar as, you know, that piece of Amazon's thinking is concerned, to see a lot of the trove of IP in MGM's chest to be come, you know, whether it's remakes, whether it's spinoffs, seeing characters develop their new story arcs, seeing their origin stories, you know, that's a lot of stuff there that you could do. And it's become a popular trend. And I would be surprised if it didn't continue.
And I'm hoping it goes in the reverse, too. Perhaps MGM could develop some of Amazon's IP into different movies. I'm thinking, you know, like the Treasure Truck and, you know, a delivery driver playing the protagonist going up against UPS. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
I would watch Alexa Takes Over the World anyway.
So we are talking about Amazon's proposed acquisition of MGM. This week on GeekWire, we're talking with Sam Blake, a reporter who covers entertainment and media for .LA. And we will be right back.
Technology moves fast. I need to move faster. WGU's competency-based education puts me in control of how fast I move through my IT degree program. I can accelerate my program by applying what I already know to my courses and focusing on the things I need to learn. Earn a respected accredited degree that propels your career in the IT field. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
Welcome back. It's GeekWire, and I'm Todd Bishop, co-founder, and we're talking this week about Amazon's acquisition of MGM with Sam Blake of .LA. That said, there is no guarantee at this point that this deal will actually happen. This deal does require regulatory approval. One interesting aspect here is that Amazon, of course, is under a lot of scrutiny from an antitrust perspective right now, and particularly in some of the legislative inquiries into the company, the focus has been on its past acquisitions of companies like Zappos and Quidsi, which was the parent of Diapers.com. And here you have a company in MGM that is relatively complementary to Amazon, although duplicative of some of the Amazon Prime offerings, and potentially one that regulators could look at more closely, in part because of a lot of this current antitrust scrutiny. Sam, do you think that from what you're hearing from folks that it's possible this deal could be modified in some form or blocked by regulators?
I don't think so. A lot of it is political. And I think a lot of the noise around the antitrust is, you know, not without some justification, but it rings reminiscent of the Time Warner acquisition from AT&T of a few years ago to an extent, which I think the consensus there is that too was kind of a lot of political bluster and motivated much less by kind of by the book antitrust theory and more so just sort of a distaste for a big company, you know, getting bigger. That said, hey, antitrust and the relationship of big tech to the public is an increasingly hot button issue politically. And, you know, some elected officials, who knows, maybe they could see this as an opportunity to, you know, gain some political clout by putting their foot down and showing that, you know, they're not going to let a big company like Amazon, which has, right, like the second largest market cap in the U.S., become even bigger. Even leaving aside, you know, by the book antitrust law so far, just for the sheer fact that it's the big getting bigger, it could be, exploited by politicians. But I would personally not bet on it.
Another interesting subplot in this whole thing was the Amazon executive, Jeff Blackburn, who only a few weeks ago left the company after decades there, and just recently then came back in a surprise move. He had headed up the Amazon Studios group and just Amazon's initiatives in Hollywood in general as part of his past role. And I know that this deal is sparking a lot of speculation about his return and whether it's related. Sam, I am curious what you've heard and what your thoughts are on that. But I will say my initial gut reaction is that Jeff Blackburn would not have come back merely because of the MGM deal. I have a hunch that there's something bigger in the works. And there's been all these rumors over the years with Amazon potentially buying a movie theater chain. And what better time for them to jump in on movie theaters than at the bottom of the market here, when the valuations of those physical assets and leases is especially low coming out of COVID. I could see that being a very frugal Amazon approach. If I were to look into my crystal ball, that would be what I would come up with, is that there's some bigger initiative where MGM is a part and Blackburn is involved or probably leading it, and that it involves movie theaters in some respects. Am I totally out in left field there?
Hey, you're talking to someone who years ago in graduate school actually wrote a paper about why Amazon should acquire a movie theater. Now, I didn't get the best grade on that paper. I got I got praised by the professor for taking a big swing, and he said that that's what companies like Amazon like to do. And so, you know, when it comes to the kind of the appeal of that move, I think certainly, again, you know, it's kind of from sort of a social as well as a business perspective, I think there are definitely advantages to doing it. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, you could see Amazon incorporating some kind of commerce play into, you know, these IRL buildings, as the kids are saying, and furthering their efforts, which I think we're starting to see increasingly, of them kind of bridging the digital with the physical world. You know, it's another good example there. Movie theaters are definitely becoming less popular, but hey, what a cool story if a company could reinvent the movie theater and think about new ways that people could engage with it, and maybe even go so far as to come up with a new way of experiencing a film, and maybe even as a result creating a new sub format, if not an entirely new format, of what could be exhibited at these kinds of venues. So, you know, I haven't spoken to Mr. Blackburn, but to the extent that, you know, he's interested in kind of doing something big and different and innovative beyond following Hollywood's increasingly data-driven approach, hey, I think there's a lot there.
And you've got a paper he can read as a blueprint.
If you're listening, I've got it saved, I think, on my external hard drive.
Do you remember what your central thesis was? The reason that Amazon should acquire a movie theater chain or a movie theater?
It was probably a little more on the socially, culturally oriented piece of, like, basically, like I was saying earlier, big tech does not really have a great reputation. And to do something that could revitalize something that's sort of beholden as a really positive experience for people with a lot of nostalgia could be a way for Amazon to kind of restore its reputation.
Well, there was one line that really stood out in your story, Sam, about Amazon's proposed acquisition of MGM on .LA, and we'll get into that right after this break.
This GeekWire podcast is sponsored in part by Yale University Press. Are you concerned about the rise of AI and how it will impact our society? Every day, artificial intelligence presents us with urgent ethical challenges. How do we harness this extraordinary technology to empower rather than oppress? Nigel Shadbolt and Roger Hampson have written a how-to for building ethical machine intelligence. Their new book, As If Human, Ethics in Artificial Intelligence, is now available wherever books are sold.
Welcome back. It's Todd Bishop from GeekWire with Sam Blake from .LA talking about Amazon's proposed acquisition of MGM. Sam, there was a particular line of background in your story that really stood out for me. I had not actually seen this assertion about the overall landscape for streaming. You wrote, Most analysts agree the average consumer wants to pay for no more than 4 or 5 streaming subscriptions. I got to say, could you send those analysts to talk to my daughter? Like, if I could get us down to 4 or 5, I would be happy at this point. So where does this put Amazon? I mean, is this something that could help them get into that 4 or 5 as Prime? Or does it really even matter because everybody's a Prime member anyway? Do they care if people also jump on with the movies as well if they're getting, you know, one-day shipping anyway?
It's a really interesting point because I think it does speak to a broader question of, are we kind of oversimplifying the streaming wars? Are we leaning into this narrative where we've got these apples to apples competitors in a zero sum game competing for people's attention, where in reality, like you say, Amazon's business is primarily, obviously, in addition to, you know, cloud and so forth, and its ever-growing list of different products and so forth. But yeah, Prime is the big piece of what they're doing. And so from a consumer standpoint, it's, if I have Prime and I'm also happen to be counted as a subscriber to Amazon Prime Video, then okay, I don't really care. I'm happy to be getting shipping. And you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of incremental customer base they'll get as a result of this deal. But I think the sentiment is that Amazon is now in the mix of being one of those few players that will ultimately win out as the entertainment industry continues to consolidate and sort of return back to a more bundled approach that's reminiscent of the cable bundle, which so many people eschewed for streaming, but then it got too fragmented. And, you know, just another example of how you see businesses go through cycles of bundling and unbundling and back again.
Right. And when you're bundling it back up again, it often will include tangential or related products in some cases, like phone service and streaming service and internet service and all those things. So you can see how it's all coming together. And Amazon's unique offering is that Prime shipping deal, the core offering of Prime. But I could see where if there are enough movies and TV shows in Prime Video, it would make somebody who wasn't a Prime member think about becoming a Prime member, and it might make an existing Prime member think twice about canceling their subscription if they were inclined to do that, which you think about the antitrust stuff and the anti-Amazon sentiment that is out there. Granted, it's not the majority of people, especially not the majority of consumers, but it is out there. And I think that something like this makes them all the more sticky and really combats that to some extent. Sam, I've obviously asked a bunch of questions and kind of joked around about this story a lot, but I'm wondering, is there anything that you would want to get across about this deal that really struck you that we have not talked about yet?
I think just the only other questions that I'm interested in continuing to watch are what comes next. I think, for example, you know, we've got this parallel proposed consolidation between Discovery and Warner Media, which may change HBO Max and turn that into a new player among, you know, the few streaming services that people might ultimately want to keep once they're paying full price for everything. It'll be interesting to see if there are further waves of consolidation. You know, you've got a few other players in there that are now feeling, I think, the heat a little more strongly. Viacom, CBS, which just launched Paramount Plus, NBC Universal, which has Peacock. You've got a few other kind of smaller troves of content companies out there. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how that shakes out. And then just one thing I'm also very curious to watch unfold too is the continuing globalization of these shows and of these movies and the extent to which that brings content, you know, from other parts of the world increasingly into our living rooms here in the US and vice versa.
I do want to point out just one last thing. I know I've been joking around a lot about this, but with Survivor coming into the Amazon catalog, I think there is a clear path for where that is headed. Obviously, the next move on either Amazon's board or its senior leadership team will be to add Jeff Probst. If your name is Jeff, your chances of getting hired in some capacity at Amazon are significant. So that is my next prediction about the implications of this deal. Jeff Probst on the Amazon senior leadership team.
My prediction, if I may, is that the Amazon leadership team will go on a corporate retreat, Survivor mode.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
I can play this game.
That's right. Would Andy Jassy be host or protagonist?
Tune in next week to find out.
Sam, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Sam Blake is a reporter who covers entertainment and media for .LA, the technology news site for Southern California. Sam, what's your Twitter handle so folks can follow you?
You can find me at HiSamBlake.
Nice. I like the hi. That's pretty good. Creative. You might have a future in this business, buddy.
Fingers crossed.
All right. Thank you for listening to GeekWire. I'm Todd Bishop, GeekWire co-founder. To see all of our coverage of science, tech, business, and more, go to geekwire.com and sign up for our daily email newsletter to receive all of our stories. Our podcast producer is Kurt Milton. Our theme music is by Daniel L.K. Caldwell. We'll see you next time on the GeekWire podcast.